it's Open Mic Friday on this Law and Gospel Worldwide KFUO, May the 9th in the year of our Lord 2014. I'm Tom Baker, your host, and on Open Mic Friday, you have the opportunity to phone in with any theological question on your mind. You may want to be doing something that we talked about this past week, such as the idea that law and gospel are the voice of God within your conscience. As well as yesterday, we spoke about, of course, heaven is for real. Now, I've got a little housekeeping task here to do. We have changed our website, and you'll want to write this down, because this is how you get to us. It's lawandgospel101.com. Law and the and is A-N-D, lawandgospel101.com. And when you get to the first page, guess what? We are encouraging you to join our email list. And if you do join the email list, we will provide you a free copy of my theological analysis of Heaven is for Real. What you do, you go to lawandgospel101.com, and then all you do is you put in your name and your email address and hit submit. Now, what's going to happen, you have to go back to your email address and you have to reconfirm that this is really you. You see, well, what happens with some of these, they actually have to have people who put spam in. They put somebody else's email address, and we don't want that to happen. So when you put in your email address, you go to your email, and then you click on another item, say, yeah, this is really me, and I do want to be put on this email list. And as soon as you do that, then you'll get a welcome letter, and you'll be able to download my document, Heaven is for Real. It's an 8-page analysis of the book and the movie, and it's free. You can even put it on your computer. You can print it out. You can give it to other people. No cost at all. Then when you're on this email list, we will be giving you other freebies occasionally, as well as reduced costs on our products. Now, when you go to lawandgospel101.com, you need to scroll down the top page, because the first item is joining the email list, but the second one is joining the Law and Gospel 101 membership site. Now, what happens on there? This is where, for $10 a month, you get 4 items a month. You get one every week. So after a year, you may have 52 items, and there are videos, there are audio, all kinds of items for you. It's well worth over $500 a year, and they come to your house, to your computer automatically. The third item is the purchasing products, and you go to the products area. For example, we have The Duck Dynasty, a whole controversy on homosexuality written by Peter Kurowski. And that book is only $7, and you can order it, and we'll send it to you. And finally, number 4, you can donate to the Law and Gospel radio broadcast because we are listener-supported, and if you're able to donate, we sure appreciate it. We are seeking a tax-deductible status. We don't have it quite yet, but you can still use either PayPal or your own credit card for this. So that's the housekeeping task I wanted to talk about. But the main thing is you do want to put in your name and email address on join the LNG 101 email list, and you'll get a free copy of Heaven is for Real, as well as other benefits. Okay, our numbers here are, in case you'd like to phone in with any theological question in the St. Louis area, 821-0850. Now, I hope you notice that the 850 is, of course, what you do on the dial of the radio. We're AM 850. So 821-0850. Toll-free is 1-800-730-2727. That's 1-800-730-2727. And while we're waiting for our first call, I thought it'd be a good idea that we might want to take a look at some of the readings for this coming Sunday. I did one of them on Monday, but this coming Sunday is a very interesting Sunday. It's Good Shepherd Sunday. It's always the fourth Sunday of Easter. And the hymn we looked at with Mark Smith, "The King of Love, My Shepherd Is." But we also want to take a look. We already did 1 Peter chapter 2. "For you were like sheep going astray, but have now returned to the shepherd and overseer of your soul." And by the way, that's the sermon that I'm going to be preaching this coming weekend. And so I'm kind of looking forward to that for sure. And where am I preaching? Oh, Christ our Savior in Freeburg, Illinois. Christ our Savior, Freeburg, Illinois. The worship service is at 9 a.m. The Bible class is at 10:30. And for the Bible class, I'm going to be taking a look at what I consider probably the most difficult verse in the Bible. "If you don't forgive others, God will not forgive you." Wow. We're going to be talking about that. All righty. In the text, we also have the readings from Acts chapter 2 for the fourth Sunday of Easter. And we're going to look at some of that right now. "And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, in the breaking of bread and in prayers." Now, we need to understand that some of that language is really pointing to something beyond. For example, the breaking of bread isn't referring to that we all go to McDonald's for a dinner. No, that would be a technical way of speaking about the Lord's Supper. And in prayers would be another way of talking about worship. Because God continued to grow his church. "Now they say all who believed were together and had all things in common, and sold their possessions and goods and divided them among all as anyone had need." Now, we really need to be careful when we read the Bible that we don't take something as prescriptive that is really descriptive. What does that mean? It means that sometimes the Bible describes what was going on among Christians, but that is not an order or a prescription for what we need to do. In other words, yes, they were in a situation in Jerusalem particularly where there was persecution and people who were hungry, etc., were not being care of by the Romans because they weren't Roman. And the Jews, of course, had forsaken the Christians, and so they were on their own. So in that kind of a circumstance, we can understand why they were selling their possessions, dividing them among all, as anyone had need. Now, this distinction between description and prescription is really important because a lot of people say, well, we need to do things the way Jesus did. No, that's incorrect. We need to do things the way Jesus tells us to do them, not the way he did them. I'll give you a very simple example. The Lord's Supper, that Monday, Thursday, a wonderful experience of the disciples, took place in an upper room in Jerusalem during the Passover. So does that mean that we first have to have a Passover meal before we celebrate the Lord's Supper and we need to be in an upper room? No. No, we just have to follow what Jesus says. "Take, eat, this is my body." So we distribute bread. "Take, drink, this is my blood." So we distribute wine. And it really doesn't matter from God's point of view whether you do it in a common cup or individual cups. I mean, there's arguments for both sides. The point you're making is we do the Lord's Supper the way Jesus tells us to do it, not the way it's described as having been done by Jesus. Similarly with baptism. Can you imagine that every time we baptize somebody, we got to take them to the Jordan River where Jesus was baptized? No. In fact, the symbol of the early church for baptism was a seashell. Now, if you were always immersing people into the water, why would you need a seashell? Well, because there was a lot of places where there was no water, in the sense of a big swimming pool or a big basin of water. And so they applied water in baptism. And you see, all that baptism means is to wash with water. But they baptized not only pots and pans, but also tables. The same word is used there. And who would imagine, can you imagine after dinner, I say to my wife, "Bo, we really need to clean the table." So we pick it up and we take it over to the bathtub and dunk it in the water. No, you just simply take a cloth and clean the top of the table. That's all that baptism means. So this is really kind of an important thing to kind of keep in mind, that unless God prescribes it for us, it needs to be read in a descriptive way. So we too, as Christians, continue in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship. What does that mean? The Holy Christian Church is a church that teaches what was taught by the apostles. That's what the apostles' doctrine is about. And fellowship. The word fellowship, we actually had a youth group name that, koinonia. It's a Greek word, and it just means a coming together of Christians. And so they would have a fellowship. In other words, at the Lord's Supper, there were certain requirements that a person needed to follow in order to have the Lord's Supper. Well, one of them was you needed to be baptized. Another one is you needed to understand what was going on at the Lord's Supper. The Lord's Supper is not for really, really good Christians. It's for really, really bad Christians, those who recognize that they are poor, sinful beings in need of the wonderful message of Jesus Christ, Christians who repent of their sins. So, verse 46, Acts chapter 2. And by the way, if you want to phone on any question, you're welcome to do so. St. Louis area, 821-0850, and toll free 1-800-730-2727. And I do hope that many of you will go to longgospel101.com and send up for the email list, and you'll get freebies and right away an analysis of heaven is for real. Okay, verse 47 is really important, the end of it. "And the Lord added to the church daily those who were being saved." Now, what we find so interesting here is when we talk about how is the church growing, notice that the one who is driving the verbs is always the Lord. And, of course, that Lord refers to Jesus, added to the church daily. So the Lord is responsible. You know, pastors who brag about how many members they're getting in the congregation, they really miss the point that the credit ought to be given to Jesus Christ. You know, Jesus himself, if you follow him, you're going to come to places where they're going to want to throw you off a cliff. You're going to come to places where they want to stone you. And you'll finally come to a place where they may want to crucify you. Jesus, the greatest teacher of all, still had to realize that salvation is of the Lord. And therefore, there were many people who would reject this wonderful message of salvation. "And the Lord added to the church daily those who were being saved." Now, that's really an important point from my point of view, because it's a passive. It doesn't say, "And the church was growing by those who saved themselves." No, the church was growing by those who were being saved. And being saved is something that God does for us. Okie doke. Numbers in the St. Louis area, 821-0850. toll free 1-800-730-2727. That's 1-800-730-2727. And we're going to go to our line right now, I believe. And let's see who's on there. Hi, Joe, you're on the air.
Hi, Pastor. I've got a question for you. I don't know if it's on the topic that you've been discussing, but
we're open line, so it can be on any subject.
Okay. I'm wondering if what you believe the significance of the Nephilim in Genesis chapter 6 is. And I'll hang up and listen. Thank you.
Okay. What Joe is talking about, and I have to turn to that, Genesis chapter 6, the Nephilim, and read that section. Okay. Okay. What happens is there were increasing corruption on the earth. This is just prior to Noah and the flood. And what happened is the sons of God saw that the daughters of men were attractive, and they took as their wives any they chose. Then the Lord said, "My spirit shall not abide in man forever, for he is flesh. His days shall be 120 years. The Nephilim were on the earth in those days, and also afterward when the sons of God came into the daughters of men, and they bore children to them. These were the mighty men who were of old, the men of renown." So, these are understood by most scholars to be thugs and tyrants. The sons of God were mighty men, the men of renown, I should say. But we have to understand that the first group of nobility in the world was a group of tyrants. Now, they were admired nonetheless, just like many people of nobility today are admired. But they were indeed sinners ripe for judgment in God's eyes. So, in verse 2, when it talks about, and maybe this is part of the question, the sons of God saw that the daughters of man were attractive. These would be Semites. They were godly believers through whom the promised Messiah would come. Now, there are some interpreters, I have to admit, who've considered the sons of God to be angels. However, such a conclusion directly contradicts Jesus' teaching about the nature of angels, namely that you can't be given and taken in marriage, and Moses' teaching about kinds, the one kind begets another kind. Now, the daughters of man would therefore refer to godless unbelievers, Cainites. And the sons of God look longingly upon Sethite and Cainite women, interested only in the attractive ones. And so from that point of view, I would be saying that these were not angels, as some would suggest, but the sons of God would be believers. And then these women they were looking to, lusting over, were unbelievers. Let's go back to the phone lines and talk with Cheryl. Cheryl, you're on the air.
Hi. I have a question and a comment, I guess. The thing that disturbs me most about Heaven is for Real is that my friends have latched onto it for comfort. And the situation is my friend's 29-year-old daughter died suddenly from drug use, and she left a 3-year-old daughter. And my friend asked us for sources of comfort. How can she comfort her 3-year-old daughter? And I said, "Well, teacher, I am Jesus' little lamb, and Jesus loves me. This I know." And keep reminding her that Jesus cares about her. And but my other friend suggested this book, and I'm kind of frustrated because
let me interrupt here. The book is actually better than the movie, because in the movie Jesus is never talked about as the only way of salvation. But in the book, I remember Colton was brought by his father, who is a pastor, to a funeral home. and he got really upset, wondering if the man in the casket had believed in Jesus, because if he didn't believe in Jesus, he would not be saved. So I don't understand how people think that this book is comforting here, particularly when the Wesleyan Church doesn't believe in the sacraments of baptism or the Lord's Supper, as the Bible teaches. You'd have to pretend that Colton saw, say, her daughter in heaven, which, of course, is never mentioned that way. And that's the comfort that even Colton's parents get, because they say, we now have an eyewitness. I'll tell you, you really need to get that free Heaven Is For Real. Did you hear how you can get that?
Oh, yeah, online.
Yeah, you go online.
I wrote it down.
Okay, and then what I want you to do is make some copies of it. I don't mind that at all. And give it to your friend, because there's a whole section on that where the comfort by the book is more important than the comfort from the Bible.
Yeah.
And once that happens, then you are dealing with a theologian of self-glory who's looking for comfort from his experience or the experience of others rather than from the Word of God. And that's really dangerous.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okie doke?
Okay, thank you.
Thank you so much. And we'll just keep on going down the line. We're going to talk to John in California. Hi, John.
Good morning, Pastor Baker.
Good morning.
First, a comment. I just finished signing up on the Law and Gospel 101 website.
Oh, thank you.
Everything went well, and already received the download from you.
Yeah, believe it or not, I just did that yesterday. It took me 4 hours to set it up, and I'm using AWeber. And the reason that is so good is you had to go to your email and agree that this was you. So sure. I don't get any spam, and then you're really well protected here. But I appreciate that, and I would encourage you to also sign up for the next item, which is the membership site. But you go ahead.
I've done that also.
Well, thank you so much. How can I help you?
Okay, question today. Genesis chapter 3, verse 14, from the ESV, it says, "The Lord God said to the serpent." How are we to interpret serpent? Is it literal or is it figurative?
I would say, in light of the fact that there was a donkey in Balaam's day that actually spoke, I don't have any problem at all that the devil had taken on the form of a serpent and that this was a real serpent. In fact, we don't know it's the devil from the Old Testament. You know where we find that out? In the book of Revelation. That old serpent of old, and uses the very word for a large snake, was none other than the devil himself. So it's not till Revelation that we are absolutely sure it was the devil. Before that, it could be just an evil demon. But no, this was Lucifer, Beelzebub, the devil, Satan himself. So Scripture interprets Scripture.
Right. So the devil has the power to come into something else. In other words, he can take the form of something. He has that power.
Well, let me just read to you one of the Bible verses that I have used in this Heaven Is For Real analysis.
Okay.
What I is 2 Corinthians 11, 12 to 14. What I am doing, Paul says, I will continue to do in order to undermine the claims of those who would like to claim that in their boasted mission, they work on the same terms as we do. For such men are false apostles, deceitful workmen, disguising themselves as apostles of Christ. And no wonder, for even Satan disguises himself as an angel of light.
Wonderful. Thank you for that. I had a few different teachings on that and just really wasn't clear. So thank you so much for that.
God bless you. Thank you so much for calling. And anybody else can call at this time. We only got a minute left, though, so we probably don't have enough time. But 821-0850 or 1-800-730-2727. When I was talking to Joe and Cheryl and John about was the new website, lawandgospel101.com. And the first thing you can do is join our email list. There's no cost to it. Plus, you will get a copy of Heaven Is For Real free. I'm sorry, my theological analysis of heaven is for real. It's 8 pages, and it's broken up into various subtitles, and it can be very helpful when you're speaking to other people who appear to be comforted by what this 3.5-year-old said and are not comforted in the same way by the apostles and the prophets. This is really serious. I think this is a terribly dangerous book. And the reason I believe that is because it is so subtle. It sounds so good. Just like the devil, the serpent. Oh, God will not put you to death. He doesn't want you to become like God. On a Monday, we're going to be taking a look at another Bible verse as we look forward to the following Sunday in Easter. Until then, take a look at lawandgospel101.com. I'm Tom Baker. God bless.
Listen to Law and Gospel on Worldwide KFUO. You can write Pastor Baker at KFUO, 1333 South Kirkwood Road, St. Louis, Missouri, 63122. Or email lawgospel@lawgospel.com. We are the messenger of good news, KFUO.